Mostly cloudy and warm today. Our high will be 85 degrees. This evening, we're expecting lots of rain with thunderstorms, especially early in the evening. Overnight, the low 62. And for tomorrow, there's about a 1 in 5 chance of rain. Clouds in the morning, sunshine in the afternoon, cooler weather. The high tomorrow, 69 degrees.
Hey guys, good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. I'm Brad Sykes. I'm finally back in the studio with my good buddy. I had to give him a bear hug when I walked in. My brother Doug McCary.
It's been a while.
Back from India.
Yeah.
And man, it is so good to see it. You know, I got to sit in your seat for the last almost 2 weeks, and that's a much more comfortable seat.
You think?
Yeah, I really do. It's a good mic. It's a good seat. Good headset.
And we've
everything.
Got an on-air sign now, so that
exactly.
People, you and me can be reminded, because sometimes we forget.
Well,
that
you
we're
know,
on
usually
air.
Those things are outside your studio, so that people don't bug you. We need it just to know when we're actually
just
on the air.
Just to know when we're broadcasting. Well,
welcome home, buddy.
It is good to be back. It was an awesome trip. Good friend for a long time, Rich Griffith, who was with us over in the Philippines,
yes.
Was over there. And I just want to say, boy, God is really doing things in his life. It's so neat. Here's a guy who, you know, we were looking. I was just did a Google search on the percentage. Only 2% of college football players make it to the NFL. Only 2%.
Okay.
Which is unbelievably low.
Right,
think about that.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about the D1 players, only 2%. And then to make it, once you get up there, he played like 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
You know, and he walked away from that into ministry, became a pastor, worked on the west side here at Hillcrest for a while, then went out
to... FCA.
Yeah, it was FCA.
And then Hillcrest. Yeah.
And then went out to... to Colorado Springs, to Woodman Valley Chapel out there, and started a SWAT group out there this year, and is fired up, and just confirmed he and Carrie are going to Israel with us as well. And so so I am real excited about what God's doing in his life. He had a great time. You know what it's like to go over there for the first time and just... to witness it. It was mind-blowing for him. We got to go to a secret baptism out in the kind of off the beaten path in a river. Out of the six, three were from Hindu families that completely basically excommunicated them out.
Yeah.
For doing that. I mean, which we don't really understand that here.
We don't. We hear of stories like this, but we don't know what that's about.
But to see them and to see the joy on their faces. One guy lost his job because of it, but he didn't care.
Yeah.
He is in relationship with Christ. And then I had the opportunity to speak to him and his wife, who his wife was not there for about an hour. And then after, you know, we spent some time, and then we went to church the next day. And the next day at church, she told Dawa she wanted to start following Christ. So they brought her up, and boy, led her. She kind of directed her in a prayer. They got her to get down on her knees and profess before everybody that she wanted to follow Christ. It was a great, great thing.
You know, it's interesting, Doug, as you share, and I can't wait to go back over there with you. But there's hardly a single lesson that I teach where I don't share my experience either in India or Israel or both. You know, and I mean, you're kind of the same way. When you teach, you bring out stories from places you've been in and you've seen God in action.
Well, these two places, Israel and India, probably have, I'd say, impacted me the most.
Well, and I mean, it's no kidding you're going to bring those things up, because those are real life experiences. In fact, I was talking about it with David Gray last week here on the air. You know, the importance of us getting out of the seat we're in right now and engaging in a world that we're not familiar with. I mean, we're called to do that to begin with. But when you do it and you step out on faith, Watch what God does. It's unbelievable.
Well, and here's the thing. I tell people this all the time. If you want opportunities to share your faith, by the way, I this came to me yesterday. I'm driving down the road, and I was thinking, it's going to be a new slogan. I'm not big on the slogans, but this just popped in my head while I was riding down the road. You know, 95% of the people in the evangelical church in America have never shared the gospel with anybody. 95%, Brad. Mm. That's unbelievable that only 5%. But I had this thought, be a 5%er. Be a 5%er, man. Yeah,
what is that 5%?
Be a 5%er. Mm. Be one of the ones who cares enough about God, about people, to share with people. And so if you ask God for opportunities, he'll do it. And so on the plane coming back, I was 11 hours on one plane, 9.5 on another, and then 1 hour on the flight here. Had the opportunity to share with 4 different people.
Well, you can ask any of the guys at any of the SWAT Bible studies that we did this week, as I specifically said, we're praying for Doug and for Rich, for safe travels, for opportunities, though, not only in India, but going and coming, you know, because, I mean, how many times have you shared your faith on an airplane?
It's so awesome.
In an airport.
Well, they're not going anywhere, right? Yeah. They're stuck on an airplane. And
when they ask you what you do for a living.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they do. And I always, I connected with a couple of the flight crews. I always get up and walk around, and I walk back to the very back. And I noticed a pin on one of the guys. He was a special forces guy. Who's been working for the airline for 20, 30 years now. And got to share my testimony with them and share it about how God led me through the FBI and the Marine Corps and all that stuff and what my life was like when I lived with the knowledge in my head about Jesus versus the knowledge in my heart about Jesus. And it was just awesome to be able to share. But I was sharing with a cook for NASCAR. On the flight from Atlanta here.
Really?
And just got to open up a conversation. And here's a good question you can ask people. I love to ask people, if you were with Jesus in a Starbucks or a coffee shop, if you don't like Starbucks, and you could say, hey, I just want to ask you this one question. What question do you ask? I love asking people that because it surfaces some things. And then I also like asking people, so what's your spiritual background? You know, what kind of faith background do you have? And then after following up on that question, I usually will ask them, hey, so if you were, you know, standing before God because, you know, you're no longer here, and let's just say, even if you don't believe in God, let's just say for argument's sake that there was this divine creator and you had to stand before him one day and there is this place called heaven that's with him. What would you say if he said, why should I let you in? Everybody, without fail, says, well, normally they say, because I've tried to live a good life. I've tried to follow the Ten Commandments, or I haven't done anything really bad. But it always tends to be work-based, which is 99% of the world religions except for Jesus Christ. Yeah. You know, yeah. And so...
Well, it sounds like a question like that, boy, that's getting right to the core. I mean, you know what I mean? There's no beating around the bush, because whatever the answer is to that question is going to expose or reveal a lot about that person. One of the things when I was traveling a lot for business. So when that plane starts to push those throttles forward and that plane starts to move down the runway, there's a little rattling, little shaking going on in that plane. Now, I personally like that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're probably the same as a pilot. You know, it's kind of that adrenaline. Most people, however, there's a little bit, they start to grip the seat a little bit tighter. You know, they're thinking about something. I mean, very few people can just read the article they're reading while that plane's moving.
Yeah.
And I usually use that opportunity because, hey, this is the beginning of the flight, whether it's an hour flight to Atlanta, or it's, you know, we're heading to Detroit, or we're going around the world. It's going to be a long flight. Let's get started right now.
Well,
and then my question is, literally, when that plane is about to lift off the ground,
yeah.
Hey, are you a person of faith? Yeah. It kind of
no. That's a great question.
It's
too.
A lighthearted question, and they're going to answer it, and most of them are going to go, yeah, absolutely.
Well, and they are people of faith. Like, in fact, that was one of the things that came up in the conversation with one of the people I was talking to, and I said, well, you know, here's what's interesting. You know, because one person said, well, not really. And I said, well, you really are.
Yeah,
and they
go,
what do you mean? Yeah. And I said, well, did you see the pilot's credentials? Do you know if he, went to flight school? Did you see his certificate? Do you know what his record is? Do you know what kind of grades he got in flight school?
Mm-hmm.
No. Well, then you have faith in him. It, you know, there's more evidence for Jesus out there than this fact that this guy can fly, exactly. fly a plane. But we have faith in him. But, you know, speaking of planes, we need to pray for the families of all those people affected by the Ethiopian air crash. You know, a lot of people are upset about that, you know, because it was a brand new jet, Brad. It was a 737 recently delivered, like in the last few months. It's called a 737 MAX 8 by Boeing. And American flies it. Southwest Airlines flies it. It's a jet flown by at least 10 or 12 airlines around the world. And Boeing is typically, you know, a good airline. They don't know what caused it. I mean, good airplane producer, but they don't know what caused it. But a lot of people might be nervous. Let me just say that as a person speaking of personal experience with a plane crash, okay, you are immortal until God determines to bring you home. And likewise, when he's ready to bring you home, you can try to avoid it, but you're going to end up finding you run smack dab into it, because when he's ready for you to come home, he's ready. And so, you know, but we need to pray for these people, pray for these families, because a lot of people that are immediately affected by it. I got one of my friends over in Nigeria or in Kenya knew one of the people on board, and he was posting about it. And I just thought, wow, what is it about that big of a tragedy that just makes your heart sink a little bit, you know, because it affects so many people at one time.
In one event.
Well, and yet, you know, when you think about this, I heard somebody talking about this. I saw a great post on Twitter yesterday that was really good, because they were giving blowback to some of these very well-known preachers around the United States that have been silent on abortion. 60 million babies aborted. And because of fear of political correctness and fear of, you know, diminishing Christ influence, like that's the same people who speak up against racial prejudice, which is wrong, and we should speak up, but we should also speak up against the infanticide that has taken place over the last 30, 40 years in America because of abortion. And until the church starts to be vocal in a way that's, one, we're praying, we're asking God for wisdom, but we're unashamedly saying we stand for life as well, then I think we're just going to keep seeing this lukewarmness in the church, because we've been silent, and silenced by people on the left.
Well, that's what's amazing.
Not just the political left, by the way. I'm just talking even liberals, Christians.
I mean, that's the reality. We've been silenced, not at gunpoint.
No.
You know what I mean?
Not like people in India and the Middle East.
Make a profession of faith over there, You have to look out for your life. Over here, people may make fun of you. People may, you know, post on social media or in the news or whatever. So what? We don't answer to them.
Yeah, and we're really, you know, we get more concerned about the political upheaval or the political maneuverings of different people rather than what all real life issues that really show us where we are. And that's why, you know, that person, Cynthia Newman, I don't know if you saw this, dean resigns up in at Rider University because the students wanted to bring Chick-fil-A there, but the administrators rejected. And we'll come back. We'll pick it up.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. Glad you joined us here at SWAT Radio, www.swatradio.com. Tune in.
Wow. That time went
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
SWAT Radio is brought to you on the truth by Evolve Bank and Trust. Evolve offers investment services, trust and mortgage services, physician lending, and equipment finance. Through its affiliates, a network of bankers, trust officers, and mortgage advisors, they offer a wide array of loan products and services and are actively involved in the growth of the communities they serve. Evolve is a nationwide lender providing residential mortgage loans, including conventional, FHA, VA, home equity lines of credit, reverse mortgages, and USDA loans. More information is available by calling Michael Koopman with Evolve Bank and Trust at 727-415-2214. Their web address is www.clearwater.evolve.mortgage. Equal housing lender. All loans subject to credit approval.
Like a bull chasing the matadors, a man left with his own schemes. Everybody needs someone beside him, shining like a lighthouse from the sea.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. That is Need to Breathe. You know, Doug,
that's our theme song for SWAT.
I think it's a great theme song. You know, Leah, my middle daughter, did her internship for Need to Breathe.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
and now I remember you telling me.
When she lived in New York City, she did her internship for actually a group called Foundations Artist Management, who manages Need to Breathe. Great guy. She's friends with all those. So whenever they come to town, I usually call up my daughter. Hey, can you get me some tickets?
You need to call them up for me too, because I want to go.
Hey, done deal.
They are awesome. I really want that to be our theme song.
Oh, because it's a great song.
It was in the movie Run the Race too. Yeah. Did you go see that, by the way?
No, as a matter of fact, we had an event on Saturday at one of our main lenders, and we invited people to come out for this little event we had Saturday morning, breakfast and all this stuff, and we do it in this theater. It's like this little private theater, and we ran the trailer of Run the Race.
Yeah,
and I remember hearing that song on it because, and yes, I'm holding out. I am going to go see. I've got a full week of things I've got to do.
We haven't even talked about TPC yet.
TPC, really, all the players are showing up today or yesterday, and by the way, tomorrow, you know. David, I talked a little bit last week just about Jacksonville as a whole, and I know we've got a lot of listeners who don't live in Jacksonville, but Jacksonville has become a great place to come visit. But even if you just live here, there's so many cool – what was that, Steve? There's so many great things going on, and we talked about the jumbo shrimp.
Oh, the baseball team, man.
We talked about the TPC that's going on this week. It's considered the fifth major in on the PGA. And that's going on this week.
I think it's the players' favorite, too, by the way.
Well, in fact, they said yesterday, they said the top 50 players in the world are going to be here this week.
Isn't that crazy?
It's awesome.
Well, I just want to let you know, kudos to, to Trey and all the guys that put on Run the Race. It is still out, by the way. 5 showings a day. You can still go see it at Cinemark, Regal. One night.
San Marco.
San Marco, take your bride and go see it. It is a great movie. But anyway, it shows that in there, that movie. And speaking of, Brother, Let Me Be Your Shelter, I can't give a lot of details, but I want to ask, if you're listening to this broadcast, either live or post-program, like later, I just want you to lift up and pray for one of our brothers who runs a business. He basically took his life savings and put into this business, and it is doing great. It's a restaurant, and it's doing awesome. And he's never missed a payment, never missed anything, never had any issues with the landlord. But the landlord has felt a need to move him out and move a bigger, probably a national chain in. And what's sad is this person has been so successful there and really done a great job. And it bothers me. I don't understand, because sometimes money is not the most important thing. Mm. And especially when a landlord professes to be a believer, to treat this guy like this is just wrong, because when somebody is putting all their efforts into a mom and pop place, I call it a mom and pop place, you know, that's what built the backbone of this country, is these mom and pop businesses.
That's
that
right.
Go in, they're community minded, and they have meetings there. Like, he has community meetings there.
We have SWAT.
We do SWAT stuff there sometimes. And so I want to ask you to pray for God's intervention in the heart of the landlord to change his mind, because the timing on this is short, and we are really asking God for a parting of the sea kind of thing here, not allow him to boot this guy out, because it's just not right, because there's just some things more important than money.
Yeah.
And this is one of those. I mean, this is a brother who has done things right. He's done things well. He's used it as a place to minister, and he's used it for the community. And I'm asking you, if you're listening to this, to stop today and every day until we tell you something different has changed, to pray that God would intervene. Just please do that.
Doug, you and I have known this guy for, I think I'm 15 to 16 years, something like that. And I mean, we're not talking, I just know of him.
No.
Our families have traveled together. We've done things together. And this guy he's amazing. He's a generous guy.
And he's a servant guy,
oh,
you know?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. He's a fun guy. He loves Jesus, loves his family. And to see this kind of thing, you know, this is where the whole idea of the body of Christ, when our brother is hurting, we ought to hurt. Mm. And I'm hurting for him.
Oh, I am too.
And, you know, whether you know this guy or you don't know him, he is a brother in Christ, and really just pray for him.
Well, you know? we need to pray for him. And I'm going to tell you, you know, my instinct is, the Marine in me comes out. I want to mobilize. I want to attack.
Too.
I want to go on the offensive and, and try to come help. But I prayed over in India, because that's when it really happened, right before I was going over there. And as I was thinking about it, I don't know what God is going to do through this. I know God was not surprised by it. He's not surprised by anything. And what we're trying to work through now, because I'm praying with him and just asking God, Lord, do you want this to be a David and Goliath thing, where you show yourself as the deliverer? Because there's no doubt the landlord has the resources and the capacity to be able to. It's like a Goliath.
Yeah.
And the mom and pop, you know, it's just typical, very typical of what you see a lot of times. But the thing I just want us to pray is that God would move in the heart of the landlord, if he truly is a believer, to elevate principle over financial cost, whatever it is.
Over profit.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know what, this is right to do it this way. And because sometimes technicalities can be, you know, you can be technically right to do something, you have the right to do it, but it doesn't mean that's what God wants you to do. And so I'm praying that he would listen, and maybe God would move in him through people or things around him. And because I'm just going to tell you right now, if another restaurant moves in there, I'll probably never eat there.
Yeah.
Just because I'm be so frustrated about the way they treated this brother.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I pray, and I'm asking you as an audience to pray as we move forward, and we will let you know more details. It's just at the point it's at right now, we're not able to share a lot of the details. So just pray for our brother who runs a restaurant that's very good, that
very
is
successful.
Doing what, very successful, and pray for his family. Pray for the people that are employed there, and pray for wisdom for him, and pray that God would intervene on his behalf. Because I'm going to tell you, I told him this, I was talking to him before I came up here. Give me God anytime. I don't care. You can put the whole United States resources against me. Mm-hmm. If you give me God, I'm going to take God every time.
Yeah.
So I told him we got that going for us.
Yeah.
So
amen to that. Amen to that. Well, I know we're going to, so You know, this is the first time I've gotten to see you since you got back. I mean, you and I we have spoken across around the world over the last 8 to about 10 days, and we text back and forth this morning. But I came in here kind of looking forward to hearing about India, about our brothers over there, and
well, I mean, I can tell you that it's good. We can, you know. One of the reasons we can get into a little bit of today's passage, just because it deals with false shepherds and the woes that came to them. And one of the things that I was struck, because before I left, I did an outline of the passage just to kind of work through it. And I was reminded over there, these brothers who are younger, who are less what I would call theologically educated, at least from the Western mindset, with all the resources we have over here. Mm. But they possess something that you don't see in a lot of what I call the Western church leader over here. And not all of them, but they're not driven by ambition. They're not, obviously they're not, because they're going to, most of them, be persecuted when they go out from the LTTI training. There's 30 students this session, Brad, that we got to train. We had to train in a remote location. We did get to swing by and show Rich the LTTI, which, by the way, the LTTI is a Leadership Transformational Training Institute that God used the guys at SWAT to help fund this four-story structure that basically provides housing for them to train and deploy and retrain, bring them back in for different conferences and stuff. All the leaders that they've trained there over the last 7 years, Brad, they've trained over 600 church planters, missionaries, and pastors that they've deployed out.
Let's see, when we were over there a year and a half ago, it seemed like the first floor was done.
The second floor was
done. And then we toured the third and fourth floor, but there's just open, basically.
Everything's done now, but they need $10,000 to do the roof. I mean, to actually close it in so that it provides a place there. And here's the good thing. If we can get this last 10 grand over there to help them, then they can use the facility to rent it out to help bring in funding to help their fund the training. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It can become not a turnkey kind of thing, but it can become a income producing ability for them, because most of these guys, they live on support.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
just total, and the government is shutting out a lot of the support for these Christian groups. So
how about our friend over in Kalimpong?
Well, Kunal. Kunal's got 15 kids now.
Is he? So he's added.
Yeah, he's added, and he's building on. And that's another thing. If you want to sponsor an Indian child in this orphanage, it's an amazing story of this guy who went to go to college, went to go buy a motorcycle, saw street kids, forwent college to say, I'm going to take care of these kids. And he went home, told his mom.
Didn't buy the motorcycle.
Didn't buy the motorcycle, said, I want to take care of children here, Mom. And so he's got 15 children there, and the cost to taking care of all of them, for helping to build the structure to do all that, it's about $50 a month. And so you can
per child.
Yeah. You can sponsor a child from India and help in this remote place. And Dawa told me that, you know, there's lots of orphanages that have help with outside agencies. This guy doesn't. So that's why we've taken him on.
Well, and I were the first ones to really give
to
him some funds. Everything else had been construction work, any kind of work he could pick up.
And you can attest to what a guy this guy was, his character. He's just a humble, young, vibrant guy who went to the LTTI, graduated from the LTTI, the training institute, and is training up these kids. And by the way, 14 of them are males. Mm. He's training them up to be young warriors for Christ, young Timothy. So if you want to sponsor one of them, $50, send an email to doug@swatradio.com. I'll send you information how you can do that.
Yeah. Hey, glad you joined us today, Doug. Glad to have you back, man.
Good to be here.
All right. You want to join us today? Call us, 904-401-1413. If you're outside of the Jacksonville area, 1-844-777-7928.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. The president just released budget proposal sets the stage for tough negotiations.
Republican Tom Cole noting this is just the starting point for negotiations and that both sides need to be willing to deal in order to get something signed by September. Meanwhile, Democrats say the request for nearly $9 billion for the border wall is dead on arrival, and others are calling the proposed cuts to domestic spending dangerous.
Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines reporting. Secretary General Antonio Guterres says over 20 U.N. personnel died in the crash of that Ethiopian airliner on Sunday. They were en route to a key global humanitarian conference.
Yesterday's terrible air crash in Ethiopia took the lives of all those on board, including at least 21 of our U.N. colleagues, according to the latest information.
A total of 157 people died in the crash. The black box has been retrieved, although it is reportedly damaged. The crash of the jet shortly after it took off from Addis Ababa on Sunday is drawing renewed scrutiny on the plane's safety. That same type of aircraft crashed just before takeoff on October 29th in Indonesia. Also on townhall.com, Democrats have picked Milwaukee to host their 2020 national convention.
Milwaukee beat out Houston and Miami to host the Democratic Party's presidential nominating convention in July 2020. DNC Chairman Tom Perez said the choice is a statement of our values because Milwaukee is a city of working people. White House Counselor Kellyanne Conway tweeted, 4 years too late, Democrats go to Wisconsin, a reference to Donald Trump's 2016 upset victory in Wisconsin. Meanwhile, Republicans will hold their national convention in Charlotte. Greg Clugston, The White House.
And on Wall Street, the Dow ahead 153 points now. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Expect some delays because of a multi-vehicle accident on the East Beltway, 295 southbound before Phillips Highway. Also, another accident on the East Beltway, 295 at the northbound ramp to UNF and the Town Center. And there's a disabled vehicle on the West Beltway, 295 southbound at the Buckman Bridge. Becoming cloudy with a slight chance of showers, maybe a thunderstorm tonight. Low 61 Tuesday, gradually becoming mostly sunny, high 72.
I was lost, now I'm found by the Father. I've been changed from a ruin to treasure. I've been given a hope and a future. I've been blessed beyond all measure. I am counting every blessing, counting every blessing.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here, back together.
Yes.
In the studio.
Yeah, did you like that? Count Every Blessing. Are great. You counting every blessing, man? What a great song.
Great
just
song.
A reminder that, you know, we take our freedom for granted here. And I, you know, that's one reason I love going over to India, yeah. Places like that, to be reminded that God has blessed us with so much here. And one day we're going to have to stand before him. And I thank God for the opportunity to go over there. And one reason, Brad, I like to share about those experiences is to bring awareness to people. Because when you live in a bubble like we live here and you can easily forget, you've experienced it. I mean, and I experience it. Every time you come back, after about 2 or 3 weeks, you get back into a routine here and you start to forget what it's like to be in a country where the leader says, I hate Christianity and we're going to wipe it out. You forget that you're in a country where there's 1.3 billion people and less than 2% follow Jesus.
Or even know who he is. Or even know where he's ever heard of him.
Yeah. And then out of the 2% that profess him, a bunch of those don't really know him. They just know about him.
Mm-hmm.
And so we take that for granted. And we live in a country right now, timing wise, that, in fact, this week at SWAT, we're going to be looking at chapter 24 of Matthew, talking about the signs of the birth pains, the signs of the coming, the second coming of Christ. And it's a sober reminder that, you know, it's we're going to have to give an account. He says, if the servant knew when the master was coming about, he would act differently.
Yeah, that's
and I
right.
think we get lulled into this. Oh, it's going to be a long time. Yeah.
You know, Doug, I teed that up for you this week. So, I appreciate the opportunity to fill in while you were gone to teach, Matthew chapter 23. And but also teed up what's coming, you know, chapter 24, chapter 25, the second coming. And yeah, these birth pangs that we're seeing them. And I was thinking about what you said when you're on the airplane and you're walking around and you're observant, you're aware of what's around you. And I mean, I think we live in a time where we can bury our heads in a phone display or in a screen and be completely oblivious as to what's going on around us. My wife gives me the hardest time because I tend to be, I'm very aware when I'm driving. I'm like, oh, did you see that? She's like, keep your eye on the road.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? I think as you're going through your day, I pray that God would make us more aware.
Mm-hmm.
Help us to see even just some of the connections we have with people. And because there's an opportunity, just as you're walking through the airplane, you know, on a trip, you're finding things to connect with people on.
Well, and unfortunately, again, and please, you know, if you're listening to this, this is not a personal attack on your pastor. This is really a function of our system that we've created that I think is not healthy. When Jesus taught the disciples, he said, "Follow me." And they watched him. They watched him interact with people. They watched how he dealt with situations. They watched how he observed and then inserted himself into people's lives in a way that was showing God's love. Yeah. And the invitation to come alongside and walk with him. And instead, today, we go to a place where our leaders, and this is why this teaching is really important, because one of the things one friend of mine did, he says, what's 9 traits of good and bad pastors or shepherds?
Mm.
And he gets it from this first 12 verses here. and basically, one of the things is, the people that serve in the general, what I would say the general pastorate in America, a lot of times decide they're going to be there. They go, they put them play their serves there. They go to school, they go to seminary, they get a degree. And a lot of times they don't even know what they're going to do with it. They just they do want to teach, or they want to, you know, that always cracks me up. Well, I want to teach God's word. I want to teach his word too. And that's a healthy thing. But if all you do is teach from a transfer of information standpoint, you're really not following what he wants us to do as his leaders, because he wants us to shepherd. He says, feed my sheep.
Jesus deals with it in this passage. I mean, right up front.
Wow, he does.
And by the way, I was had... So the Iron Sharpens Iron event we had last...
We didn't even talk about that.
It was great, but I was manning the SWAT table, and I had one of our SWAT buddies came up to me, and he said, "Hey, Brad, you're teaching this week, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, I've been reading ahead, and I think I'm going to avoid coming in to that Bible study."
Right.
He said, "I know you're going to be teaching on hypocrisy, and I don't know that I want to be convicted."
A lot of people do. They
anyway,
don't like that.
I mean, he was saying that in fun, but my comment was, hey, you know, the Bible tells us we're to endure sound doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a difficult, difficult topic to discuss. And I mean, Jesus hits it straight on. And I mean, you think about what's going on in Jerusalem. It's Passover. The city is just a buzz. People are, you know, it's just there's so much activity going on, and Jesus doesn't pander to the crowd. He just gives them what they need to hear.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think this topic that we're going to get into this week on hypocrisy, man, it, you know, it's like you always say, I don't necessarily teach for other people as much as I teach for myself because I needed to hear this.
Well, that's when you grow, really, when you teach. Well, in fact, Lori's been teaching a study to a group of women at the YMCA, and she talks about how much she has grown. And, you know, I was talking to one of the ladies that attends the other day, and she was just saying, you know, I love your wife. She's so excited every time she comes in. And she says stuff like, you know, I've been reading the Bible for 20, 30 years, and I'm learning new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what happened. Happens when you start really studying and seeing the Bible in context instead of just being spoon-fed. And that's what we try to encourage because, you know, SWAT, the Bible is God's starting point, and we want our guys to be like the Bereans.
Yeah.
We want them to be guys that listen to maybe what we're talking about and what we feel like God is working out in our lives as we work through it, but then they go and they really dig deeper, you know?
Well, you and I have talked about this. David Gray and I talked about it last week because your last message as you left was on this idea of knowing the text. And I mean, you know, how you approach a study, you know, whether you're sitting under the teaching of someone else or it's in your time in the Word by yourself or with your family, whatever you're doing, how do you approach God's Word? And I mean, it's a whole different ballgame to just be taught. It's a whole nother thing to study as if you're going to have to teach it. And, you know, years ago, my brother-in-law, Tim, you know, kind of helped me do that. He helped me to not just see and understand the text, but imagine now you've got to go tell somebody else this story. It changes the way you look at it.
Yeah, it does.
And you retain more information.
Well, and, you know, one of the questions I get asked often is, well, how do you know which church to go to? Or how do you know if a pastor is a good pastor or not? Well, first of all, you know, that is very subjective. For our culture, good means entertaining, good means
big crowds.
Funny, big crowds, whatever. My friend, Lance Waldy out in Houston, he when he taught this passage, he basically came up with these 9 traits of good and bad pastors. And he talks about the bad. So this is what you want to avoid. And this, you'll see this, Brad, because you've studied the text, you'll know where it comes out of the text, and this is what we're going to look at. So this is kind of like a trailer or a teaser, right? But I want you to think about who your shepherds are. And I'm just going to tell you, if they get the check mark on these, somebody needs to either say something to them or you need to probably, if you don't have the relationship to do that, then maybe you want to find a better place to worship. And by worship, I don't mean a more entertaining place. I'm talking about a place because as leaders go, so goes the people. And it's really important to follow a good leader. And these 9 traits of bad pastors are, they seat themselves in places of authority. They lack simplicity in preaching. In other words, they see visions. They have dreams. They convolute the gospel with, you know, different conjectures about things. They lack integrity. In other words, what they say is not what they believe. They invent legalism, but then they don't help the people that they burden down with it. They just give you these rules, and then they don't even help you figure out how you live those lives because they don't have to worry about living that way. Their good deeds are always done in public. They're always tooting their own horn. They want you to see them doing their spiritual duties. They never miss a photo op with important people. They thrive on attention. They want you to tell them how good they are. They name drop, and they're drawn to people who are powerful or very wealthy. They insist on titles of honor. And then their leadership is based on being served, not serving. I mean, that's 9 traits that if you see those, you better start getting some flags popping up.
But, and I know we'll tackle on the other side of that,
the good
things.
Yeah.
But I mean, the reality is some of the good things that we see,
or things that maybe he's just an amazing communicator, and that's our sole focus, is he's such a good communicator. Even nonetheless, he doesn't do any of these other things.
Yeah,
that's concerning.
Yeah. Hey,
glad you joined us today. We'll be right back after the break. SWAT Radio.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomnehl.com.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
I pull, go back and forth, finding myself pounding on a locked door. I try to make it out alone without your help, but I know I never win this war. I can never be free without you. I can never be me without you.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes and Doug McCary back at it again.
Yeah.
Who is that, Doug?
That's Austin French and Freedom Hymn. And, you know, I love that because here's the thing. One of the things that we saw in Matthew 23 is that they tie up and bind people with their legalistic rules.
Mm-hmm.
And all religions, except for what Jesus taught, which is, he didn't really teach religion. He taught a relationship. The Father created us to live in the freedom of walking with him.
Mm-hmm.
And when you walk with him, it's not about rules. It's about a relationship.
Yes.
With him. I was having this conversation on an airplane with somebody on the way back from India, just talking about, because they were talking about, yeah, all the rules they had to follow growing up. And I said, well, here's the thing. You know, God lays out guidelines for us. They're not just guidelines. They are commandments from him, but they're tracks for us to run on. They're not made up man-made ways, tradition ways, just to weigh us down. He makes these tracks for us to run on, like no sex outside of marriage because of the consequences that happen when you have sex outside of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has these... Because when you have sex outside of marriage and somebody gets pregnant outside of marriage, then you have a lot of times either a single mother or you have an abortion or you have something that would violate God's rules further. And again, these rules are tracks. His rules are tracks. His rules are for our good. It's like, you know, I tell him, you can have freedom to not brush your teeth, but you're going to have cavities. And so God has set these tracks for us to run on, but that's not what the Pharisees did in Matthew 23. They were putting these legalistic burdens on people and tying them down. That's why I love that song, Freedom Hymn.
I love
you,
that.
You can't be free without him.
Mm.
you know, because it's his righteousness. It's his righteousness that makes us. We don't work to earn our way to heaven like every other religion. We are in because we're his kids and because of Jesus Christ.
We don't come to the wedding feast in the garb we want to wear.
Yeah,
well, we come only in his righteousness.
It's in his righteousness. Well, you know, you mentioned the good stuff about pastors. I wanted to go back and give the flip side of that. A good the nine good traits, pastors that shepherd and are leading in a positive way are called and they're trained and they're kind of commissioned and ordained by men who love God. Hmm. They don't just establish something because I've arrived and it's faddish and they get there by social media or by, you know, putting out a bunch of CDs or tapes that they're great speakers. Men who love God put their hands on them and ordain them the way that we're commanded.
You and I
were
both ordained, right?
Yes, we were. Mm-hmm. And commissioned. One, a good pastor preaches the simple biblical gospel. He doesn't have to try to twist it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to try to minimize certain things. He preaches the simple biblical truth. Third, a good pastor believes truth and he lives it. Doesn't mean he's perfect, but his desire is to live what he preaches. And you and I both talk a lot about how that's an important aspect of accountability. And when you insulate yourself from people, you can tend to have less accountability.
It's hard to teach or preach something you're not doing, isn't it, Doug?
Yes.
There's something that comes over you that just knows you're a phony.
Well, you've got to, I don't know, I have a hard time doing it, Brad.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to repent a lot before I get up to preach exactly. Because I realize as I'm working through passages, I'm struggling in this area. Also, a good pastor preaches the heart of Jesus, which is compassion for people, gentle, kind. You know, those are things that he does. A good pastor serves best when he knows no one is watching. I mean, he is the guy who's sweeping up the room after everybody's gone. He's the guy who's going to pick up the little pieces of paper left on the ground when nobody's there just because he sees it needs to be done, and he's not too good to go do that. A good pastor neither needs nor desires to call attention to himself. A good pastor's content to be a nobody, just a nobody. You know, I have to say this. You know, one of the things that a guy taught me a long time ago that I try to do, I don't know that I always do it, but I want to do it, is when I'm going to speak at a retreat or a conference, I want, when I'm there and I'm mingling with guys, I want guys to believe that I'm one of the guys just that got invited to the conference. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I hate being that's who you are. Anyway.
Yeah, I hate being referred to as the speaker. I just want to be a guy that's there that's going to share what God's done. You know, I don't need a special car to bring me. I don't need a special room to go hang out in. I want to go hang out with the guys while they're doing their activities. I want to interact with them and get to know them.
We get to grow in those events too.
Yeah. You
know, people think you're there to speak. Yeah. Hey, we're there to learn and grow ourselves.
You know what, Brad? Unfortunately, and this is truth more than not, if you go to a lot of conferences, a lot of the speakers, they get up and speak and they leave. They don't even listen to what I'm engaged. I want to hear what these other guys have to say. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
but anyway, a good pastor is just known by his name. In other words, he doesn't have to have a title in front of his name. And then a good pastor serves Christ's flock faithfully. I mean,
well, you just
shepherds.
Wrapped up Matthew 23, I think.
Well, that's just the first 12 verses. I mean, that's
exactly.
Just a little thing. But hey, I think we got a caller.
We do. Are you there? Are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Glad you joined us here, SWAT Radio.
I just wanted to say welcome back, and we'll see you Wednesday night.
Hey, all right. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there, man.
This sounds like Lacey. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. Glad you made it back.
Well, I appreciate it. How's things going for you out in the world today?
Well, I'm taking care of stuff, so it's all right.
Well, I miss seeing you, and I look forward to seeing you Wednesday, brother. I appreciate your call. Did you have a comment about stuff we were talking about, or are you just wanting to connect and say hi.
Well, that was part of it, but the other thing is that you guys bring out stuff in the Word that I never heard before. You know, nobody really went in depth about, you know, the customs of Jesus, you know, back in the time when he was, you know, preaching and everything. And just the stuff that you guys bring out to highlight what, you know, what you guys are what the Word is saying. Mm. It's like a revelation, you know, because you don't hear that in regular churches.
Mm. Well, I'm so glad you're a part of Wednesday night. And, you know, if you can't come to a SWAT in the daytime, the Wednesday night group meets at Eastside Community Church at 7 o'clock. Would love for you to join us up on Beach Boulevard, 13301 Beach Boulevard, Eastside Community Church. Lacey's a part. And Lacey, I'm just so glad that you come and you're a part of that group. And I miss seeing you, and I look forward to seeing you Wednesday.
Well, same here. I'm glad that I finally made that move.
Well, me too. Well, listen, brother, I look forward to seeing you, and we'll see you on Wednesday, okay?
All right. God bless.
Okay.
God bless you.
Hey, Brad, one quick thing, too. I want people that might have just joined in. Earlier in the program, we talked about a good brother who has been basically poured his life savings into a restaurant here in town that has been doing very well. It's been really blessing the community in a lot of ways, with allowing Christian groups to meet there, allowing other civic groups to meet there with no cost, just allowing them to come in there. A very, very good investment in the community is being forced out, or potentially forced out. The landlord is trying to force them. Never missed a rent payment, never had any kind of bad reputation for anything. And the landlord just is wanting to put a bigger, more national place in there. And it's really heartbreaking, because America was built on the backbone of these mom and pop things. And so we're asking everybody to pray. So if you just tuned in, we're talking about intervening, God intervening in this. And I just would ask you to join us to pray for this brother who is running this, for wisdom for him, that God would come and really move in the heart of the landlord to change his mind. Because sometimes there's bigger things involved than profit or money. And this is one of those, because the landlord professes to be a believer. And this is a believing brother who has really done nothing but faithfully invest in the community. And I just would ask that you guys pray. And then we're going to keep stressing this and pray that God would deliver this restaurant and allow them to keep blessing the community.
In the same location.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, because it's really not right, to be honest with you. Even though they're technically right, it's just, I think, ethically, it's borderline.
Well, I think that's the thing. It's a technicality.
Yeah.
And having done hundreds of leases in my career, this is so far off the rails that it's not right.
Well, it's not. And so we just ask you to join us in praying. We can't release the name yet because of the legal stuff going on. But we would ask that you pray for our brother, pray for his family, pray that God would intervene in the landlord's heart and there would be a change. And we want to tell you about it. As soon as we hear something different, we will. Okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Doug, good to have you back, brother.
Good to be here, man.
I can't wait to get into the text that we're going to be in all week.
Yep.
By the way, I won't be here tomorrow.
Yeah, TPC.
But I'll be
TPC all week.
Yeah, TPC all week. Tomorrow's Navy
military appreciation
day. So,
and Wednesday, Dude Perfect, who they do all kind of trick shots, are going to be there. I'm trying to get Corey or Kobe Cotton of them on for either tomorrow or Wednesday.
Good
so
deal.
We'll see.
Good deal. Hey, glad you joined us today at SWAT Radio. If you haven't downloaded the app, do that. SWAT Radio, you can go back and listen to past broadcasts. We'll be back tomorrow.
Yep.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL,